princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Yea, I rejoice in thy word as much as those who find great spoil. But I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. This is the voice of truth coming your way with another program, a message from the Bible, and we're just so thankful for this great privilege that we have, and we want to greet each of you in the lovely, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the prophet called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He made peace through the blood of His cross. In His name we greet you. Today I'd like to speak to you about a treasure more valuable than gold. In the 1840s, gold was discovered at a place called Sutter's Mill in California. Well, that news traveled very quickly to the East, and those who knew the value of gold in a monetary sense just left everything to go out and try to find their wealth by digging for gold in California. Unfortunately, it was called, by the way, the famous gold rush of the 1850s. Unfortunately, many of them never even got to California because they died along the way. For in the 1800s, it was far different than what it is today. The travel, and of course, the weather, the elements of the weather, and also bandits, and many of our Western movies that we heard were filmed about during that time period. Gold has always had a powerful effect upon man, even to the selling of his own soul, like it was true with Achan in Joshua chapter 6 and 7. He saw this wedge of gold and wedge of silver and the Babylonian garment, and in his mind he thought instant wealth, and he forgot that God had laid a curse upon all the spoils of Jericho. Yet in the Bible, and by the way, today with the diminishing value of the Bible, you hear the cry on the radio time and again, that the value of gold, bring your jewelry, there's gold in that, and you can make money by bringing your jewelry, take the gold out of the jewelry. Yet in the Bible, God makes it very plain that the gold and the silver belong to Him, for He created it. And most references in the Bible have to do with the gold as it was part of the furniture of the tabernacle and then the temple, because you see, the gold pointed to the deity of our God, and the silver pointed to the redemption of sinners like us and the Redeemer. Yet men, with the understanding of the monetary value of this metal, are blinded by what gold and silver can do to make this earthly journey more pleasurable, more pleasing, more exciting, more adventurous along life's way. And it affects the Christians in our time, just like it was prophesied in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to these words from 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's referring to professing Christians. But be lovers of self and of pleasure, for self-occupied will occupy center stage. Unholy, no moral absolutes. Unthankful, we fell into the trap of entitlement. We deserve this, we deserve that. And then without natural affection, God is giving His people over to vile affections, as it said in Romans 1:26-28. And then fierce, we hear killings every day. But what is more fierce a killing than killing an unprotected baby in his mother's womb? And then, of course, blasphemy. It speaks about blasphemy in the last days, using God's name in vain. Not just cursing, but attaching His name to things that happen. Oh, my God, or something similar expression, not forgetting the reverence to our God. Just use His name as an expression, a common expression. That is taking His name in vain. And without self-control, following the mindset of our nation, now $17 trillion in debt, and lovers of money, more confidence in gold than in God. That's why some Christians play the lotteries. But let me tell you something, dear ones. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your treasure is on money and gold and silver, then you don't know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We claim to be Christians. Now, how do we live then in a society like we're describing, being caught up with a flow of moral darkness, spiritual darkness, economic darkness, and political darkness? How then should we live? How can we avoid the defilement and corruption that's all about us? And there's only one way, and that is to lay hold of the treasure more valuable than gold. Gold will not stop corruption that's in our country today. Gold will not dispel the darkness that's descending upon our nation. Gold will not comfort in the day of terminal illness. Gold will not comfort in the loss of a loved one. And gold will not deliver in the day of the Lord's wrath. Listen to these words in Zephaniah 1:18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver thee in the day of the Lord's wrath. And that is why David in Psalm 119 and verse 127, he says, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And then in verse 72 of chapter 119 of Psalms, the law of thy mouth is better than thousands of gold and silver, which leads to our text, which is found in Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Let me quote that. I've quoted these verses so many times because they're so meaningful. How then shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer, by taking heed thereto according to God's word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The first thing I'd like to discuss with you concerning that text is that we're to look upon God's word, His created a word, as the greatest treasure. Now let's just think. Did God create this universe out of matter already existing? No. Listen to the words of Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9. Let the whole earth fear before the Lord. Let all the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He framed the worlds by the word of His power. He commanded, and it held fast, everything being held in place by the word of His power. Sometimes we take His created words for come, like we just take it for granted. But the other day at home, we saw a little red cardinal outside our window, and we just were caught up with God's handiwork in creating something so small but yet so beautiful. And when you think of the snow-capped mountains, which I saw in the Alps, and when you see the mighty oceans and the fruited plains and the animal world, the feathered flocks of the air, everything cries out of the wonder of God's goodness that He gave us richly all things to enjoy. And it came about by the authority and the power of His Word. But sin changed all that. When sin came into the human experience, God placed a curse upon the whole earth. And that's why it says in Romans 8, 21, 22, and 23, the whole creation groans to be set free by the children of God, pointing to that day at the end of human history when the Lord will create a new heavens and a new earth. Everything was affected by man's sin. And it says in Psalm 64:4, it says, then I restored that which I took not away. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ when He would come in the likeness of a humanity and total human but never ceasing to be God. He began that work of restoration at the cross, and He's restoring, restoring, restoring until all His people are brought in to the divine sheepfold, and then there will be judgment day, and then a new heaven and new earth, and everything will be restored all by the authority and power of His Word. You see, the whole Bible is about the Redeemer, who is the full expression of the invisible God. That's why in Proverbs 2:4, we were reading that this morning, the command is we're to seek the Word of God, we're to seek wisdom as we would seek for silver or diamonds or riches, earthly riches. We're to seek it more, we're to seek more the wisdom of God than to search for wisdom in a fine gold. Unfortunately, professing Christians of today have no heart to study and meditate upon God's Word as a treasure. Even though this treasure has no equal, yet there's no desire to study. But David said in Psalm 119, 97, he said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day long." And in 2 Timothy 2:15, you don't see this among God's people anymore. "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, spoke well when he said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book called the Book of the Ages." In Psalm 33:11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." This verse testifies to how all the Scripture reveals man's helpless estate and His grace and God's grace in revealing the way of salvation. God's Word makes clear the blessed state of true believers and the doom of proud sinners who are too proud to repent and come to faith, saving faith in our dear Lord Jesus. Those who have saving grace, the Word provides spiritual food. It provides spiritual comfort. It provides all that is necessary, spiritual light, all that is needed for the health of our eternal soul. But the Word also tells about the reality of eternal banishment from God of all who will not repent and who remain at war with God. Outer darkness, where there be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that's why this Word is such a treasure, because it tells us how we can inherit eternal glory and be delivered from judgment that must come. The habitation of God's throne is righteousness and judgment, and He must judge the world. And He did judge the world in Jesus Christ. But if we won't come to Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, then we have nothing left but eternal judgment. In the Scriptures, paradise is lost in the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. But now that restoration is taking place to the individual. Now listen to these words. First, the Word convicts of sin, Romans 3:23. Second, the Word converts from sin, Psalm 19:7. Thirdly, it reveals the intent of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. It giveth life, 1 Peter 1:23, and has saving power, Romans 1:16. And it purifies the life. In verse 9, you remember it says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to the Word of God." And by the way, all God's judgments that we read in the Scripture were brought about by His authoritative Word, His authoritative decree. The flood was brought about when He gave the Word for the windows of heaven to be opened and the fountains of the deep to be opened. It came by His Word. The judgment upon Egypt and Pharaoh when they wouldn't let the people of Israel go. 10 plagues came upon them, all brought about by the authoritative decree of God's Word. The judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and the brimstone that came down and destroyed those cities. How did it come about? God gave His Word. And by the way, the calamities of nature, you can say Mother Nature is on the warpath, but remember, the stormy wind obeys God's Word, Psalm 145:8. And if you have any trouble believing about what brings about the earthquakes and the tornadoes, just read Psalm 29 and the floods. It's all there. By the Word of the Lord speaks through it all. In the 2,000-year history of the church, I want you to think of the hundreds of the thousands of Christians who gladly gave their lives because they considered the Bible to be their greatest treasure, and they believed and they were saved, and they were kept by the power of God, and though they were persecuted, gave their lives absent from the body, present with the Lord. Psalm 119:89 says, "Thy word is settled forever in heaven." And Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, "My word shall not heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Think of how, yes, gold and silver, that all passes away, but God's word will never pass away. In the time of the Cold War in Russia, the Bible was outlawed. But there was, in this village, one Bible. And you know what those believers did? They had meet in secret from week to week on the Lord's Day, and then they would tear out a page of the Bible and give it to a family. And their responsibility was to study that page during the week, and then come back when they would meet again the next Lord's Day and tell them what they had learned from that page. And that went on and on until that ban was lifted, and when they were able to get a Bible, they considered it their greatest treasure. This treasure must find a home in the heart of God's people. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Now let me ask you a question. If you have a safety deposit box, you store those things in there that are the most valuable, don't you? Would you ever think of putting something filthy in with those valuable items that you thought necessary to put in a safety deposit box? Of course not. Well, then tell me, God's word, which is a holy treasure, then how can you take in the filthy things of this world and pollute that which is such a greater treasure? The heart of many professing Christians is fixed upon something else, something other than the reality of the spiritual life, the reality of salvation, the reality of damnation. Let me give you a personal testimony of what I'm trying to communicate to you. In my own, I had been saved for about a year, and I went to a church where the godly pastor really preached a tremendous sermon. And afterward, in the vestibule, me and another young man got to talk about baseball. And a tap on my shoulder, there was an aged saint and said, "Paul, you just heard a powerful sermon from the Word of God. Is that all you can talk about is baseball?" I never forgot that reproof, and I was so thankful that he felt it necessary to reprove me right away. You see, the Word of God will not tolerate rivals in the heart. Many are like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, who be scathingly denounced as hypocrites. Mark 7:6. He says, "You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." But I consider how men of the Bible consider the Word of God. Consider David in Psalm 19:10. He said, "I've esteemed the words of more precious to me is the Word of God than thousands of gold and silver pieces. I've esteemed the word is sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb." And that's what God's word is for the soul. Job 23:12 says, "I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food." Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, when tempted by his adversary, the devil, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live." Now, the word of God cannot be hid in the heart when we only memorize those verses that are non-threatening. How we like to say, God is love. We love to say, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. We love to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do. All these verses are non-threatening. And my favorite verse, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. But what about verses like this? You want to be my disciple? Then deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. What about that verse? What about Matthew chapter 10, verse 37? He that loveth his family relatives more than me is not worthy of me. What about the next verse? He that will not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. What about these verses from Titus 2, 11 and 12? The God of all grace hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldliness, but to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world that demands discipline, don't it? What does it mean when it says that we're to walk the narrow way? The narrow way leads to life. That's not easy to take. Not in this sin-cursed society, but the broad way leads to destruction. You see, those verses we don't like to memorize. But if we're going to hide the Word of God in our heart, we have to take the whole counsel of God, not just those verses that are non-threatening. Life is to be governed by this heavenly treasure. Dear ones, if we're going to prevent the greatest destruction, then life must be governed by the greatest treasure. Let me repeat that. If we're to prevent the greatest destruction, and the greatest destruction is of our soul, our eternal soul, then our life must be governed by the greatest treasure. Never forget that. That little phrase says, that I might not sin against thee. Earlier I spoke about all those verses that have to deal with sin. That's how restoration takes place, when we understand that sin is lawlessness against God, our Creator. You don't deliberately break the laws of society. You honor them because you don't want to have to pay the consequences. Why should we elevate the laws of society above God's holy government? He has given laws. He's given us, He gives us life and breath each day. Then why? Why should we take His word so lightly? Dear ones, when Israel was in Egypt, they were governed by the world's government and standards. And that's why in Mount Sinai, when God came down, He wanted them to know they'd be under the divine government. They'd be under the divine law now, no longer the laws of the world. They'd be under the divine government. And when a sinner is delivered from the dominion of sin and the power of Satan, he comes under the authority and government of the King who has shown him mercy. God does not speak in vain. His spoken word written down has a divine purpose. And that purpose is to mold those whom He shows mercy to reflect His well-beloved Son. And that's why it says in Philippians 3:20, to mold us after the image of His well-beloved Son, because we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God, dear Son. In other words, we become citizens of heaven. And why the consequence of sin is repeated over and over again in Scripture, let me give you some reasons for that. All sin is against God. Remember that. All sin is against God. Philippians, Psalm 51:4. Sin hardens the heart. Hebrews 3:13. Sin wounds one's total being. Isaiah 1:6. Sin is defiance against God's authority. And again, number 5. Sin aligns oneself with the adversary. In other words, when we sin willfully, we're taking sides with the adversary, the enemy of our soul. And sin exalts one above the throne of God. And sin is declaring war on God. I'd like to make a few words of application. The Word of God will always be a treasure if you have a desire to know God, for that's where God reveals Himself in His Holy Word. You will never get to know God through religious feeling or religious activity, only through the treasure of His Word and then obedience to it. Sometimes t-shirts which have a popular fad, we have some logos on, well, all kinds of things, but some people wear the t-shirt WWJD. What would Jesus do is what it stands for. What would He do? He would do not by circumstances, but according to the authority of His Word. That's what He would do. You see, when the Lord saved me, He gave me a desire to memorize the Word, to hide the Word of God in my heart, and I encourage you to do the same. I'd like to give you a testimony of, as you hear me say all the time, we love to give out good gospel literature. And we had sent this lady a lot of gospel literature. She wrote back and thanked and said, she said, as she was reading these booklets, she said she was challenged to memorize Scripture. And then she says, I know it's best to hide God's word in my heart. Then she gave this word of regret. She said, I only wish I had done it as a child. Do you realize the pitfalls of life if we had hide the word of God in our heart when we're young or when we're saved, and then make that a necessary discipline to hide God's word in our heart? Well, my goodness, if people will sell their souls for gold and silver which passeth away, can one not consider God's word a greater treasure than silver and gold that will not pass away? In the few minutes that I have left, I would like to show you this book. It's called A Spiritual Journey Through the Book of Galatians. What it is, it's a composite of several years' work in the study of Galatians. It's a Bible study book. There's some commentary on it, but you'll really get to know the Bible if you would take time to go through and study and look up the scriptures. This is, we'd love to offer to you without charge, and the Lord enabled us to also write this pamphlet called Life's Spiritual Journey. It speaks about getting right with God. We'd love to give it to you. All you have to do is write, no charge for anything. We have, 50 different booklets, 50 different gospel tracts. It's all yours for the asking, no charge. We'd love to give out what is true. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And remember, the greatest treasure upon the face of the earth is God's holy word. Don't let anybody tell you different. God bless you.